coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was Golden Glenn, the official announcer of The Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel, author of 22 books, Marine Corps veteran, founder of the Second Amendment March, proud father of seven, grandfather to 19 and counting, and as a special bonus, I'm also madly in love with my own wife. My priorities in life are God, family, and country in that order, and I hereby promise to never compromise in my convictions. I may go broke, but I'll never go woke. Folks, we got a great show for you today. First, we'll be speaking with Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf about the history and purpose of the Office of County Sheriff. Then we'll be speaking with Aaron Allen from the great state of Pennsylvania in our ShootingClasses.com self-defense report, where we get some expert advice on the details of self-defense. But before we get too far into the show, let's thank our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range. All right. Hey, I am having a good time. I'm enjoying life. Life is good. Life is good, but life is hard. It's difficult sometimes. And I'm going to focus on the good, except for today. Right now, America is having trouble figuring out how to secure our southern border. And that has a lot to do with home defense. Why? Because America is our home. We cannot secure our home because we're being invaded. We're being invaded by people from over 160 countries. People want a better life, so they come to America. There's nothing wrong with wanting a better life, and there's nothing wrong with coming to America. But here's the rub. We have no idea who's coming into our country. We don't know who the good guys are. We don't know who the bad guys are. Probably most of them are good guys, except for the fact that every last person who comes across the border defying our immigration laws, by definition, is a criminal. Think about that. What does it say about the people coming in if the very first act upon them setting foot on U.S. soil is a crime? The moment they enter the United States, they are illegal aliens. Their first act in America was to commit a crime. That bothers me. Now, I understand that some of these people are families, but who's telling them it's okay to disrespect our laws and to come here, and that we'll give them money and housing and shelter and clothing and food? I think it's the Biden administration. In fact, I'm sure of it. They want these people to come so they can turn them into a voting block. Folks, look at it this way. Do you need to know who's coming into your home? When someone knocks on the door and they're a stranger, is it a good idea to just open up the door, let them come in, let them set up in your bedroom, let them cook on your stove, eat the food out of your refrigerator, spend time with your children and your wife or your husband? Is that a smart idea? It's a bad idea, a very bad idea. But that's what we're doing with our country. A country without borders is not a country. A country without borders is not a country. The country doesn't exist because a country is defined by its borders. And if there are no borders, there is no country. That's the way it works. We've been hearing a lot in the news about squatters. Squatters are people who move into a vacant home, they change the locks, and they live there free. The true owners, the rightful owners, come to them and say, please get out. And they say, no, we're not getting out. And if you don't leave, we'll call the police. And in many cases, the police are called, and the true owner of the home is either arrested or warned or turned away. Why? Because we have crazy, antiquated laws that protect the criminal. Squatters are criminals. They're people with zero self-respect. They're people with zero respect for other people's and for other people's property. They are criminals. But the antiquated laws are protecting the criminals. It's the same thing with our southern border. We have antiquated immigration laws, laws that protect criminals who come into our country illegally. Once they come to the border and they claim asylum, then they have to be given a court date. They have to be processed. The moment they enter U.S. soil, they're criminals, but they're treated like the good guys. Folks, it's broken. It's totally broken. It has everything to do with home defense, because every city in the United States is now a border town. I live out in the country, a rural area, little town, small town America. I go to the store. I go to the dollar store. I go to the grocery store. I go to a gas station. Every day, I'm seeing illegal aliens. How do I know they're illegal aliens? Well, they don't speak English. Some of them are families. Some of them are workers. Some of them are just teenagers, or, you know, a lot of them are in their 20s and 30s, men. I know they're illegal because they don't speak English. How do I know they don't speak English? Because I'll ask them. I'll say, hey, how you doing? No speak English. Folks, my primary job here on the Home Defense Show isn't to fix the downward spiral of our country. My primary job on the Home Defense Show is to help you protect yourself from what's coming down the pike. And what is coming down the pike? America is slowly, gradually, and speeding up becoming a third world country. What did we think was going to happen when we opened up our borders and let the third world into our first world country? This was all predictable, and it's getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse until someone secures our southern border. Donald Trump said, build a wall. He was right. Walls work. But our current president has decided to let everyone in. They're unvetted. We have no idea who they are. Crime is up. Crime by illegal immigrants is up. Way up. And we're talking violent crime. Who controls our southern border? The cartels. It's not the Border Patrol, because the Border Patrol is told to let them all in, process them, give them a court date, release them, give them money, give them shelter, give them housing, give them a plane ticket to wherever they want to go inside the United States. Folks, that's crazy. That's lunacy. And it's starting to affect the everyday common American citizen. It's not safe anymore. Here's what we got to do. You want to protect yourself and your family? You don't just need a handgun anymore. You need an AR-15. You need a tactical shotgun. You need to get trained and you need to get armed. And you're running out of time to do it. I'm going to be teaching more AR-15 classes. Why? What just happened in Moscow? 140 plus people killed by terrorists. There are terrorists coming across our border right now. We don't know who they are, and we don't know when they're going to strike, but they will strike. 9/11 is in the making right now, and we're doing nothing about it. Okay, well, folks, that's what I think. Go ahead and email me at skip@homedefenseshow.com. Tell me what you think, because I really do care. All right, if you want to learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones, then you need to check out our sponsor, United States Concealed Carry Association. Just go to uscca.com and see how they can help you protect and defend the ones you love. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll be interviewing Berry County Sheriff Dar Leaf about the history and purpose of the Office of County Sheriff. Then we'll be speaking with Aaron Allen from the great state of Pennsylvania in our shootingclasses.com self-defense report. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe. We will be right back.
They say he eats crayons and his knuckles drag on the ground, but that's only half true. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was the beautiful and sultry voice of Golden Glenn, the official announcer of the Home Defense Show. Folks, we live in a dangerous world, and I want you to be able to protect and defend the ones you love, and that's why I have this show. It's my way of empowering you to accomplish one of your primary jobs in life. You are a protector and a defender. All right, listeners, before we get too far into the show, don't forget to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range for your training and equipment needs. Speaking of protectors and defenders, now I'd like to welcome a friend of mine to the show. He's Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf. Sheriff Leaf, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Welcome back. I appreciate you inviting me to help educate our public again.
Well, you must have done something right the first time, or you wouldn't be back. Yes, absolutely. Dar, I want to get right into it. The office of sheriff, I think most people go their whole lives and they really don't know anything about what a sheriff is, where it came from, why it's important, any of that stuff. So go ahead and just first tell us, what exactly is a sheriff and how did it come about?
The sheriff is your chief law enforcement officer and your chief conservator of the peace in your county. And that come about over years. We're talking way back when the Danes were trying to take over Great Britain. They had King Alfred the Great was assigned the task as commander in chief of the militaries, because what was happening is they all had their own shires, which is their own kingdoms. So the Danes were taking them over shire by shire. So when they got so far in, the rest of the kings in their shires, well, shires today would be counties. Anyways, all these kings got together and they said, hey, we need to do something to stop these Danes from taking over. So they granted King Alfred the Great all these powers of the commander-in-chief of their military. And if you think about it, we got 50 states. We made our president the commander-in-chief of our military, even the militia. We have 83 counties in Michigan. Our governor is the commander-in-chief of the militia here in Michigan. Most counties have 16, 17 townships. Sheriff is the commander-in-chief of the militia slash posse under the posse comitatus laws. It started out, they had communities of 100, 10 families, so they called them tenders. And later on, as the families grew, they got into 100s. So with their little fighting back and forth, they needed somebody to maintain order. So they started basically their first law enforcement. They called it the Jerifra. So over the years, that word Jerifra, then you had the Shire, and it basically kind of morphed into over the years as being called the sheriff or the Shire Reeve is what they called it back over in Great Britain. And today we call it the sheriff. So there's quite a long history on it. The powers and duties of the sheriff. One thing I'm thankful we don't do, and that's tax collecting. So everything else, you're the chief law enforcement officer and the chief conservator of the peace. So your main function as a sheriff is to conserve the peace.
All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and we're speaking with Sheriff Dar Leaf about the office of sheriff. So this is reminding me of hobbits in the Shire, but that has nothing to do with that, does it?
No, the Shire was basically a county. It started out like the tens and the townships basically is what it started. In fact, this is a lot of the roots of the militia. Technically, the township supervisors are the ones supposed to be maintaining their militias, and then when the sheriff needs them, to ferret out criminal activity in his county or to maintain the peace in his county, he can call on the posse or the posse comitatus. Posse was basically from the word possibilities. So the sheriff had that power given directly to him. And that's something that transferred from over the Great Pond over there from Great Britain all the way over to the United States. And we've kept that office of the sheriff here ever since.
I was reading up on it a little bit, Dar, and I read, and you can tell me if this is true or not, because it came off the internet, all but one state, 49 out of 50 states, have the office of sheriff mandated by their constitutions, their state constitution. The only one that doesn't have it, I think, was Alaska.
Well, I don't think California has it mandated by any constitution. I think it's in there by statutes, which the Californians better wake up in the constitution. Because once you're in the constitution and you have what they call you are of known legal character. And same thing with the militia, a well-regulated militia. Well, the militia has known legal character. And the militia also come across the seas from King Alfred the Great. That's what he stirred up, the militias and the posses to fight off the Danes. Oh, by the way, he was successful.
Militia, well, you know, a lot of it depends on who you ask. Because if I were to ask the FBI or Gretchen Whitmer what the militia is, or Dana Nessel what the militia is, they wouldn't give me the same answer.
Well, actually, the militia has more lawful character than like MSP or FBI, all the agencies that were created by bureaucrats. Or I should say they are the bureaucrats created by other electeds.
Mm-hmm.
So the militia was really your first real law enforcement we had in the country by constitution. Because you'll look at the four clauses in the constitution about the militia. You had your Congress had their duty, our states had their duty, the president had their duty, and then there's the Second Amendment, which is the people. Again, it was for stopping invasions, it was for stopping insurrections, and to enforce the laws of the Union. So there again, what are the laws of the Union? Is that where federal government gets to come up and make all these laws up? Well, no, that's the federal government. So there's some argument there whether or not the militia would be used in that capacity or not. So there's a lot of unanswered questions on there just because we haven't gone down that path. Again, they have a lot of lawful character. The posse, the militia of the posse is here by inheritance to the people. I get people ask me all the time, well, the sheriff's not even mentioned in the Constitution. Well, no, it didn't have to be because that was an office that was already established. That's mentioned in Michigan's Constitution, and it's mandated.
So what happens when, say, the federal government or a state government, a state bureaucrat, tries to liquidate the sheriff or take that away or make it go away somehow?
Oh, they can't. And that's the beauty of the office of the sheriff. Like I said, you got the president, who's a commander-in-chief, who's also the chief executive for the country. Then you got the governor, chief executive for the state. And then you have the sheriff, who's the chief executive for the county. And all of them have that same power, and that's to call upon the people to basically, mine is to ferret out all criminal activity. So my responsibility as a sheriff is more broad than it would be something that's more defined in the Constitution, like the governor or the president. So they can't because it's got that character and that inheritance of the people on it.
When you use the term lawful character, are you just talking about legitimacy, lawful constitutional legitimacy?
Pretty much, yes. It's not even constitutional. It's stuff that was inherited. The Constitution had a specific function that was to control the federal government. These things are all outside of that the federal government's not supposed to be controlling. That's why they put four clauses in the Constitution to keep that under control. So we didn't abuse the posse or abuse the militias.
That term militia, it's taking on, just a really negative connotation, probably for at least half of my lifetime, and I'm 66 years old. Maybe when we come back, we can talk a little bit about the history of the militia and why it's not a bad thing, maybe why the federal government and most state governments are trying to get rid of it and trying to demonize it. All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We are out of time for this segment, but stay tuned because we've got more great stuff. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation with Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf. During the break, go ahead and get out into the sunshine and run a mile, a full mile. But you best hurry because it's only a 2-minute break. And always remember that a healthy, fit person fights better and is harder to kill. And grab some ice cold water. We will be right back.
Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If this sounds good to you, you sound good to me. And I'd like to help you do those things. Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If you're looking for more excitement in your life, we have nothing to offer you. But if you are a thoughtful, responsible, nonviolent man or woman, we'd love to teach you what to do if something crazy happens. More importantly, we'd like to teach you what not to do. We currently have over 500,000 members. They are doctors and single moms and firemen and grandmothers and veterans and Democrats and Republicans and members of every faith. But the one thing they all have in common is that they know exactly what to do if something crazy happens. When you're with one of our members, you are safe. Our members know how to de-escalate situations. They know how to calm things down. We are the United States Concealed Carry Association. See what we're all about at usconcealedcarry.com. Discover the little-known backstory of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association at usconcealedcarry.com.
The The mere sound of his voice makes women swoon and men storm the gates of hell. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel, and now let's continue our conversation with Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf. Dar, the militia has such negative connotations in our present culture. Basically, when people think of the militia now, most people think of domestic terrorists who want the violent overthrow of the government. Why is that not true?
The militia, you got to understand, there's a couple of functions in the militia. One, everybody knows about it, that's the armed citizen. And if you look at it at a common law language, which we're supposed to be at common law, Constitution is written at the common law, enemy is foreign is what your militia is for. That's your armed people protecting your land, protecting your kingdom. Enemy is domestic. You have to protect your laws once you get your government established. And those are your juries. If you've ever done jury duty, you're doing militia duty. But we've gotten away from that over the years, especially with this progressive movement or the communist movement, Marxist movement, because Marxists, they want government running everything. This country, we're supposed to be managing our own affairs with these rules behind us. And common law, basically, I laugh when people tell me no blood, no foul. Well, it's not quite that simple. As long as you don't do harm to others, you should have the freedom to do what you want to do. Those are the main functions of the militia. The armed defense isn't just about foreigners coming in, like from foreign countries. That's a big part of that is what the militia, the armed militia is. And if you look at the history of that, you go look at these kings from the past, they had farmers taking care of crops for their kingdom. While they're out taking care of their crops, they had to have a sword on them at all times. And they had to be an expert in the use of that sword. Well, your enemy at all times, if one way to take you and get control of you is to control your food supply. So they burn down all your crops. Then you had to come begging to them for their food. Then it went from swords to bows and arrows, and you had to be an expert in the use of that bow and arrow, and you had to have 40 arrows and a quiver on you at all times you're attending to your crops. And of course, now it's morphed into what it is today, where you got your ARs and whatever else you can think of you're going to need for a militia to be successful. Then protecting your laws. Again, we don't get educated in our schools about what our laws are, what the common laws are anymore. You go look at something like in a jury box. That's a vote you get. But back in the common law, the jury foreman had all kinds of power. Today, the judges, the judicial system here has taken most of that away and said, no, you'll follow my rules. And basically, you think about it, you get two votes as a human being or as an American here. One's in a jury box, the other one's out of the ballot box. And those are so diluted, they're almost not recognizable.
How did it get this bad?
Little by little. Teddy Roosevelt, first time run as a Democrat, won. He's the one that started the national parks and reservoirs and all that stuff. Well, open up your Constitution and show me where in the Constitution the federal government's supposed to be in the park business, because the Constitution is what limits the federal government.
Yeah.
Then you move on to 1913, which really screwed up this country really bad, and that's Woodrow Wilson years, where they did the 16th Amendment, where there's huge arguments about whether or not that was ratified appropriately. And the 17th Amendment, there's other arguments on that one. 16th Amendment allowed the federal government to tax you directly. 17th Amendment, we were supposed to have our state legislature appoint the senators. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be like a liaison between the federal government and the state government. In other words, senators are supposed to be coming back to the state government reporting to the nonsense going on at the federal level, or however you want to describe that. Mm-hmm. 17th Amendment made that to a vote of the people. That messed up our checks and balance. After the 16th and 17th Amendment were passed, they did the Federal Reserve Act, which is the banks basically taking over, centralized banks. And you move on from that, we had the FDR years. FDR, in my opinion, was a communist. He had the New Deal and the New Deal too. And a lot of that stuff you're seeing out of the New Deal is you're licensing everything and giving government control over everything that you do in your life. And it's kind of snowballed from there onto what we have today.
This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We're speaking with Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf. Dar, let's turn it back again to the office of sheriff. Let's say that the FBI wants to come into your county and enforce a law, federal law. So they come to you and say, yeah, we're going to have to commandeer some of your men. We need your assets. Please do what we tell you to do. What are you going to do? What's a sheriff supposed to do if he's doing his job?
Sheriff should be looking at all the paperwork and going over it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure somebody's rights aren't being trampled on. The sheriff is that wall between government overreach and the people. He's your only elected law enforcement in the country. You do have the problem. We have the state police here. And what they'll do is they'll circumvent the sheriff and go through the state police.
Dar, I know that people either love you or they hate you. Most of the people in Barry County, they absolutely adore you and they support you because they instinctively know that you are going to protect and defend their constitutional rights. You actually believe that you work for them. State officials, I don't think they have the same confidence in the governor, the attorney general, and probably even the legislature. So you have managed somehow to endear yourself to the people of your county. And boy, you've been, what, have you served four terms?
This is the end of my fifth right here. And it's funny because if you're a progressive, you hate me. If you are a person who appreciates the rights and everything that our founding fathers left with them, then you love me. I mean, it's not hard to do, Skip. It's just you have to understand your role. You have to understand government. You look at Mac Prinz's case. When Justice Scalia lays it on out, he says government's divided among sovereigns and branches of government. Well, what did he mean by the sovereigns? Well, it's all these sovereign governments that we have out there. We have a county government. We have township government. We have city government. We have village government. We have state government. You have your own church government. Mm-hmm. And that's what he meant by divided by sovereigns. So we don't go out and pool all of our resources to handle the crisis of the day. The Constitution and our government is set up so we don't have a dictator dictating like they were trying to do during COVID. That one, for me, was an easy one to stand up to. There's other stuff that you really, really have to take a good hard look at and say, all right, who has the authority to do this? The power is there. The power is in the weaponry. It's mm-hmm. whether or not you have the authority.
Yeah, well, I'm a strict advocate of local control because, I don't know, the guy that's controlling my life or making the rules for my life, I want to bump into him at Walmart and say, hey, what the hell are you doing here? Why are you thinking this way? I don't want that. Let me chew on your ear for a while. And I think that's what the founding fathers had in mind. You know, they wanted local control. They didn't want this big, huge standing army, all of that stuff. But we've gotten away from that. We elect representatives and we elect senators. We send them off to Washington. And then it's like we don't have their ear anymore and they don't belong to us. And it's really kind of frustrating to the average voter, I think.
Their ears are in their wallet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, let me finish with this. Part of why people like me, because we approach it with a keeping the peace. And I talked to a couple of my deputies the other day, and I said, do you understand what law enforcement is? And I said, it doesn't mean you have to go arrest everybody who breaks the law. That's an arrest. Sometimes enforcement, you have to think, what is enforcement? So think back in kindergarten, when you had this rule that you broke that your kindergarten teacher corrected you on. She didn't send you down to the jail called the principal's office. She corrected you. So if you have somebody you know that just made a mistake, and I had a guy years ago who was out at the range and he forgot his gun in the back seat of his car. So mm-hmm. I pull him over for a headlight out. I'm walking on up. I look in there. I see the gun sitting right out in the open. It was obvious he wasn't trying to conceal it. So I got his ID and everything, and I asked him why his gun was back there, and he was really panicky and all that. And I said, he explained what had happened. He was talking to a buddy and he forgot about it. I said, okay, well, there's a case right there. Let's go take care of it, put it in the trunk. He never went and robbed a liquor store. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't kill anybody with it. That was what I call enforcing the law. The law said it has to be locked up. You taught him and he locked it up. That's been my philosophy on law enforcement.
Dar, I want to thank you for your service to our country and your passion for upholding the United States Constitution. Thank you very much, Dar, for being on the Home Defense Show today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll have our self-defense report with Aaron Allen of the great state of Pennsylvania, brought to you by ShootingClasses.com. During the break, go ahead and check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association at USCCA.com, Centershot Indoor Gun Range at CentershotGunRange.com, and ShootingClasses.com. After that, go ahead and pump out 500 bends and thrust. And if you don't know what that is, then talk to your local Marine Corps recruiter, and he'll be glad to educate you. God bless and stay safe. We will be right back.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
At Centershot Gun Range, we are passionate about training. Don't know where to start? We offer a one-hour new shooter seminar to introduce you to the world of firearms and help you find training opportunities specific to you. Concealed carry, home defense, firearm safety, AR-15, private one-on-one training, custom training, or maybe you're on a security team looking to protect your church or business. We even offer weekday morning and evening classes. Centershot Gun Range has you covered. Start your journey at centershotgunrange.com.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
He's no Einstein, but he can read and write and feed himself just like a big boy. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was the beautiful and sultry voice of Golden Glenn, the official announcer of the Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range for all your training and equipment needs. And now it's time for our weekly self-defense report, sponsored by ShootingClasses.com. And today we're speaking with firearms instructor Aaron Allen from the great state of Pennsylvania. Aaron, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip. Thanks for having me.
Aaron, tell us about your background, your credentials, that kind of thing.
My name is Aaron Allen. I'm the owner of Elite Tactical Firearms Training, located in Jeanette, Pennsylvania, about 30 minutes outside of the city of Pittsburgh. I opened my business a little over 4 years ago with the sole purpose of training and education as it pertains to firearms and firearm safety. I seen there was a ton of people in our area with guns, a ton of people in our area with gun concealed carry permits, and there was not a lot of people with actual formal training. So I have about 10 years within law enforcement, about 15 years within the criminal justice system. I have a ton of training under my belt, law enforcement. And I said, you know what, let me put a training together, see what happens. Put it out to the world, and it sold out in 2 days. And I said, okay, I think I have something here. I'm very thankful to be here with you today, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Aaron, what we're going to do is I've chosen an article about a crime. I'm just going to read part of that, and then you and I are just going to kick it around like two self-defense instructors that we are and talk about it. So, all right, this is from the nationaljeweler.com, and it says, the extremely unusual case of the female robber. The Jewelers Security Alliance has upped the reward it is offering for information leading to the arrest of a 20-something woman in a case it describes as unprecedented, a female suspect who allegedly enters jewelry stores alone and armed, ties up employees, and then exits with thousands of dollars in diamond jewelry. The suspect is alleged to have hit her first store, a Zales in Dawsonville, Georgia, on October 5, followed by a Reed's Jewelers in Panama City Beach, Florida, on August 10, and a Jared, the Galleria of Jewelers, on September 2nd. Authorities are investigating her possible involvement in a fourth robbery as well. In each case, she snatched the showcase keys after restraining employees and emptied the jewelry into a big handbag before fleeing. She also is alleged to have cased each store before she hid it. I could read more, but I tell you, that caught my eye because that's kind of unusual, isn't it? I mean, you have law enforcement experience to have an armed female robber in a jewelry store tying up people and robbing the place. That just struck me as odd.
Yeah, it's very odd, especially when it happens three times in a row on pretty much identical situations. So it's definitely odd, Skip. You're definitely correct about that.
I was going over FBI crime report, and year after year, basically they say the person most likely to attack you or to rob you is most of the time they're a male and between the ages of 15 and 34. And she is just totally outside of that demographic. When it comes to robberies like that, when they tie people up, maybe they, you know, get down in your knees, they get behind them, they tie them up. That does not leave me feeling warm and fuzzy.
You're definitely in immediate fear with anybody doing that. I always say, like, that person isn't in there giving us hugs and kisses, right? That person means business. Anytime anybody wants to tie you up when it comes to any sort of robbery, home invasion, that is definitely, to me, I would be in immediate fear, immediate threat, just from that. We haven't even went in further when it comes to her even being armed with an item and or a firearm. That's even more under me being under immediate fear or harm. So yes, you're right.
Well, I did some background searching on this. I read a couple more articles about it, and it was a handgun that she had, and she would point it at their heads, make them turn around, get them down, and zip tie them. But is there a point where you would recommend to citizens that this is happening to, that they would stop complying and fighting? And if so, how would you go about it? Or do you just recommend total compliance?
I'm a huge advocate in educating, especially workers that work in a Zales or a bank or anything where you have precious items for people that want to steal. In this case, it's jewelry. And these people are getting paid probably not enough for them to lose their life, right? I always say if it can be replaced, is it really worth going to jail or dying over if you fight back? In this situation, especially for the workers, if they don't have the proper training and education to utilize force or even have the skills to utilize force, I would definitely cooperate as much as possible to get that person out of there as quickly as possible and give them what they want. And ultimately, she wanted the jewelry.
Yeah, this is Skip Coriel. You're listening to the Self-Defense Report, sponsored by ShootingClasses.com, as we discuss self-defense with Aaron Allen from the great state of Pennsylvania. Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with you on that one, Aaron, because, you know, and this is what I teach my students, you're kind of limited to the amount of training that you have. You know, if you don't have the skill set to fight back successfully, then sometimes it's better just to comply, because your number one job is to go home to your family at night and you do what you have to do to accomplish that mission.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Skip. There are some people that believe their job or take their job a little bit more seriously. But when I say that, you know, and they say, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this to this bad guy when they come in and rob me, I say, well, you put yourself in a big risk. One, you could lose your life. Two, you could put others in danger. Three, and you're definitely liability, you know, issues there if you try to use force and you hurt other people. So there are so many things that could go into this when you're an employee of a jewelry store or bank. My big thing is cooperate, get that person out of there as fast as possible, give those items that they want up and be done with it. Be the best possible witness you can be, meaning being able to remember what the person's wearing, what the person's dressing like, what the person is saying, any tattoos or scars, you know, because eventually law enforcement is going to arrive to that scene. And that's the best case scenario, to be the best possible witness to give that information to law enforcement so they could properly investigate this incident.
Yeah. One of the things that we're unable to do when it comes to armchair quarterbacking like this, you and I, we weren't in the room. We weren't feeling the fear. We didn't have the gun pointed at our heads, and we weren't looking in the person's eyes, right? And for me, right, I'm kind of an advocate on my gut instinct. I'm always going to follow my gut instincts. But we don't have that when we just read an article.
Absolutely. You know? I say the same thing. We're very similar when it comes to the gut feeling. Absolutely.
Yeah, because the one thing I've noticed in my life, the times when I've really gotten myself in big trouble is I ignored my gut instinct.
100%. 100%.
So, you know, and the gut instinct, basically, that's the sum total of every experience you've ever had in your life and how you responded to it. And afterwards going, gosh, that was stupid. I can't believe I did that. But, you know, you have to add that into the mix.
Correct. Yeah. Your gut feeling is most of the time correct. So listen to it. I say that in every single seminar that I teach, every training that I teach, any use of force topic that I teach. Your gut feeling is most of the time correct. So listen to it.
People always ask me, they'll say, well, Skip, what would you do in that situation if it was happening to you? And my answer is always, Well, I can't tell you here in the classroom. I can't tell you until I'm actually there, you know, because that gut instinct, it's going to vary from one scenario or one robbery to another to another.
And absolutely, you're 100% right, Skip. And again, depending on the person, their level of training and education, you fall to your level of training, right? We say that as instructors all the time when it comes to use of force incidents, when it comes to active shooter incidents. That's a fact where you fall to the level of training. So everybody's answer to that is going to be different.
Aaron did a great job breaking this down for us today. A lot of good stuff that our listeners will like. Before I let you go, tell us your website so people can check you out.
So they could follow us on shootingclasses.com/elite tactical firearms training.
Aaron, I want to thank you for being on the Home Defense Show today. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Skip. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and that about wraps it up for this week's show. I've had a good time, and I hope you have too. Please don't forget to thank our sponsors, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range at centershotgunrange.com, shootingclasses.com to help you find the right trainer for your needs, and United States Concealed Carry Association. For all your self-defense needs, go to uscca.com. Oh yeah, before I forget, I've written 20-plus books, and they're all available on amazon.com in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. This week, check out one of my nonfiction books. It's titled Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. Please join us again next week for all your home defense needs. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!